an awful lot. Pretty bad when your iPad turns upside down on you. All right, take your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. Paul is admonishing the Philippian believers that they should be very careful what they're thinking about, what they're putting their mind to. Paul is in prison. It's about 62 A.D. He sends this letter to the church, which he started in the second missionary journey. And one of their members, Epaphras, had been in Rome and to bring a special offering to the apostle from them that came to help him. And actually, this letter is kind of like a missionary thank you letter to the church. And it, Paul is sharing his secrets of joy. I've been preaching for 45 years, and I'll be honest with you, I'm always searching the Bible, finding for places that make me happy. I'm always searching the Bible for places that can help me get through another day. I'm like the gold miners out there digging and panning and looking for those special little nuggets of gold. When my wife and I, we just moved here to Montana, we had a chance to go look for some gold. And boy, I had this great idea that I was going to really find a boatload of the stuff, amen. And we went down by down toward Butte, and this family got out the pans, and we started digging. I probably moved about a ton of dirt, gravel, just in one afternoon. Had my legs in that water, and I'm telling you, when I was sitting on a rock, which seemed to be embedded in me when I stood up, amen, and I couldn't walk because my feet were so cold. But I moved. Boy, I was going to find it. And I did find some. I found some what they call gold dust, and not even the guy was telling me, he said, not even a penny worth. But I searched. I searched and I searched and I searched. I really worked it. I mean, I did, buddy. If there's anybody going to be a gold miner, it's me, amen. But anyway, I haven't done it since. But anyway, I can't walk anymore. I can't sit anymore. But anyway, working. And that's what I try to envision myself as a gold miner and looking in the Word of God, trying to find those things that stand out, that there's some kind of quote-unquote combination that you could do to get God's blessing upon your life. And I hope that you're doing the same thing. In Paul's letter here, he gives us the secret of the Christian joy. I don't know about you, but I like joy. I don't like sorrow. I don't like trouble. I like joy. I like that. I like the enjoyment of life. I like to go with a kick in my step and a sparkle in my eye and a grin on my face and people wondering what in the world I'm up to, amen? That's really what I want to do. I want people to say, hey, what are you so happy about, you know? I said, man, I'm going to heaven. The guy said to me the other day, I was getting the elevator, I was at the hospital, and somebody said to me, he said, what are you so happy about? I said, well, I'm on my way to heaven, amen. And So we ought to have that. Some people ask, how you doing? I said, I'm doing better than I deserve. Amen. And I may not look better than I deserve, but I certainly feel better than I deserve. Amen. So Paul says, hey, here's a secret I found in Christian joy. Would anybody know anybody in the world more than Paul that would have the secret of joy? When you read the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it kind of tells you the things that he'd been through and all the shipwrecks and all the beatings and all the, you know, people that had forsaken him and all the hurts and all the sorrows, but he still says, I did it for joy. And you're going like, you are whacked out, dude. There's something wrong with you. How can you be happy in all this junk that's going on in your life? Read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See what he went through. But he has joy, and we don't understand it sometimes, that how a person can go through some of the most bitter things in life, go through some of the most testing and trials of life, and still come out shining. I think Paul's a pretty good one that we can go to. He's an apostle. He's wrote his scriptures, many of the scriptures in the Word of God that we enjoy. And when he writes his church at Philippi, he writes 19 times in four little chapters. He mentions joy, he mentions rejoicing, and he mentions gladness. The unusual, almost started singing that song. But anyway, the unusual thing about this is this. When he's writing this and he's given us 19 things about joy and rejoicing and gladness, Paul's in it. He's in this situation that there's no reason for him to rejoice. He is a Roman prisoner. His case is about to come up before Caesar. He might be acquitted, but he really knows that he's not going to be. He's going to be beheaded, chained to Roman soldiers 24 hours a day. He's not permitted to preach publicly. You see, Paul had begged God. He said, God, let me go to Rome and preach the gospel. Let me go to Rome to be a preacher. He's not going to Rome to be a preacher. He's going to Rome as a prisoner. And at Rome, the Christian community now is divided over him. Some are with Paul and some are against Paul. Boy, that's a blessing when you're down and out and things are all against you and there's a problem. And then you got your friends, half of your friends are fighting over each other about they don't like you and don't like what you're saying and don't like how you're doing things. And you got to say, no, it's right, it's either. No, it's not. And boy, how frustrating that must be. In spite of all his danger, in spite of all his discomfort, Paul overflowed with joy. I want that. That's what I want. Psalmist says that this life is full of troubles and sorrows. There's heartaches everywhere. There's things that just don't work out like we thought, we envisioned. This is not where I should be today. People have trouble with their health. They just don't have the strength they like you do. I talked to Roy and Carol the other day, and they were so frustrated about their health. There's people that go through death. There's people that go through marital problems. And one of them does not want to stay with each other anymore. There's people that have children problems. Their teenagers are not doing what they expected them to do, and they're not doing what they were taught to do, and they're running off here and there, living with this and living with that, and the crowd that they're with, and it just frustrates the family, and they don't know and they're pulling their hair out, and they don't know what to do. There's some people having problems with their housing, some people having trouble with their vehicles, or some people having trouble with their finances. Some people are having trouble with their finances. Some people are having trouble with their finances. Some people are having trouble with their finances. You ever heard of that, Eddie? You think of the life of Paul and see what Paul is doing, what Paul is going through, and you're saying, good night! How can anybody speak of joy? Four little chapters of the Bible. How can anybody speak of joy when you're going through all these troubles and all these sorrows? He doesn't even know if he's going to make it the next day. In a dark old dungeon. Stuck away, forgotten. Now, if this dude can do it, I expect I could do it. And if this preacher could do it, I expect I could do it. And if this man can do it, I would expect you can do it. Paul talks about the mind. So mind is a wonderful thing, a terrible thing to lose. That's all I've been doing all week, is trying to find stuff that I've put. You know, I'm trying to arrange my office, and my oldest sister said, you know, Sheldon, what you need to do is get your file cabinet right there and everything. Every day you do your mail, you write to people that wrote to you, you pay your bills the same day you get them, and on and on. Oh, that's a great idea. except for about 3 years, things have not been as straight and calm as they used to be, amen. And I'm trying to get through 3 years of stuff. You know, Paul, if I could talk to you today, I want some of that stuff. I want to find out what the secret is of this guy who is in total lack of in control. He is not in control. You got that? How that a man who is out of control has no control at all of his life or his being, and how he can have joy, because joy comes from control, doesn't it? Control of our emotions, control. The other day I came up to a guy and he said, "Don't start crying." I haven't started crying yet. I thought, yeah, you want me to say I can't cry? Are you kidding me? Seems like I cry all the time. I see people in my church hurting, I cry. I see kids that are financially in trouble, it burdens my heart. I see people that are having trouble with their family. I see people having trouble with their marriages. I see people that are having trouble just to exist. I see people that are having mental problems and things like that. It just tears me up. You tell me I'm not supposed to cry. Are you kidding me? That's why God gave me the little tear ducts here. That's my release. Don't forget to cry. It's good for you to cry. God says, I put your tears in a bottle. I think mine are in gallons now. But can I be so bold today to tell you, I think I found a secret. I think I found the secret, and the secret is the Word of God. This is a blessed old book. From anywhere you turn to it, it's there. I think I found a secret. And it's in one word. M-I-N-D. The mind. That one word is translated three different ways in the Bible. The Greek word meaning the mind, to think, or to remember. The mind, to think, and to remember. How about that? The mind. The mind is an amazing thing. When we were going through some very difficult times with my wife 3 years ago, neurologist says the mind is an amazing thing. We know more about the ocean's bottom and the stars of heaven than we do about the human mind. It is the most amazing organ that God has given to us. It repairs itself. It'll actually go from one side to the other to repair itself. It has ways of shutting down so that we do not have all the trauma. It has ways of even making us think we hear things. And he just went on and went on. But he says, Dr. Shearer, we don't know about your wife's mind. We know there's a problem. We know that it's shrunk. But we can't tell you because we don't understand the mind. He charged me $1,000 to tell him that. So you're telling me you don't know nothing? Well, yeah. Okay, give me my money back. Amen. Paul's admonishing to his admonition in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and you looked at, is that when in our mind we think unkind or impure thoughts, we need to deal with them, he says, instantaneously. So that's the first thing. Number one, when I think of impure thoughts or inappropriate thoughts, I need to deal with those instantaneously. Take care of it right there. Hit the delete button, if you might say. Take care of it. He said, if you want joy, Take care of it. He says, if we cultivate it, if we let it take root, if we let it grow, it will rob us of all joy God has in store for us. There's no joy in the Christian when we think bad thoughts. And I'm thinking about it. I said, man, that's good. That's really good. So the thing that come to me, I want to stay away from, that would cause me to think bad thoughts or cause me to think ill of someone. Therefore, how do I get past that? You know, we as real men and women, we want to jack slap somebody tomorrow with any, you know, talk about like that. Bring it on! But Paul says, hey, take care of it. And I'm guessing here, okay, I think. That's why God tried to tell us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Leave it alone. Bear one another's burdens. Because when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of God. I think the first thing of joy is that we, to Paul, if I'm reading it right here, if I'm not, please text me or something. If I'm reading it right here, Paul says, hey, when the problems come, immediately take care of it. And how do I immediately take care of it? I give it to God. Lord, here it is. Lord, he says he doesn't love me anymore. He says, she says she don't love me anymore. Lord, he did this. And Lord, he did that. Lord, I got to come up with this. And Lord, did not you say in the Bible that you would not let anything happen to me that I could not withstand? And to the point of I can't withstand it, you provide a way of an escape. Didn't you say that to me in the Bible? I think sometimes we're almost afraid to quote the scripture back to God. It's His book. And I'm not putting God on trial. Please understand that. But I'm telling you that God put that in the Bible so that we could enjoy it and use it. Lord, I don't know what's going on here. And God said, I'll take care of it. In fact, maybe God says, hey, I'm not going to take care of it, but I'm going to give you grace enough that you can get through this thing. Didn't Paul's apostle? Hey, the Bible said when Paul walked by people and his shadow fell on the people, they were healed. Did he have power of healing? Yes or no? Not really. It was God that had the power on him, but he was perceived of that, right? And Paul comes and said, Lord, this thorn of flesh that you've given me, this thing that just keeps bothering me and poking me, dear God, take it from me. And God said, no. I won't do it. Why? And I finally came up with this thought this morning when I was rolling out of bed, literally rolling out of bed. ...99.9% of things in my life I don't understand. And for most of the things that happen to me, I will not understand them until I hit heaven's glory. Therefore, this is the premonition I got. Therefore, because of that, I must trust the Lord that He's a faithful God. And that's hard. Because I'm human. I've got Adam all over me. You understand what I mean, Adam? The first man who went against God's commandment, and he took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, he ate, and because of that he died. And that's why we have a funeral tomorrow. That's why the troubles of the heart come. Fair? No, it's not fair. None of it's fair. But we're born into this life of sin and destruction, and it has been a
an ichabod on us. It's a plague on us of sin. Sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous. No, no. All of us are in this thing together, whether you like it or not. Whether you want to be or not, you're in this thing. You got Adam all over you. Therefore, since I have Adam all over me, I've got to find ways to have some joy. And some, how do you spell relief? R-O-L-I-A-D-S. You know, you guys don't even know that, do you? There's a commercial about Rolaids and how do you spell relief. But anyway, where do I get this relief? How does this relieve me? How do I get this relief of the troubles and sorrows and heartaches when we see a little boy that for 43 years, over half of his time, were some pretty tough times? How do I get joy with that? Are you ready for this? It's very simple. It's in the mind. Its mind says God knows what He's doing. Job said, I will not charge God foolishly. And I have to leave it at the foot of the cross. I have to leave it at the feet of Jesus and say, dear God, I don't understand any of this stuff. Some of you people have not been through some stuff yet. You're going to go through it. I'm going to tell you, if you live long enough, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff. You'll be fired. You'll be laid off. You'll be not appreciated. You'll be forsaken, forgotten. The people that promised you the world have taken away with us. You got to find some way that you can survive in this crazy, outlandish world. How do I find that? How do I find that when they give me the dreaded C word, cancer? What do I do when someone tells me I have immaculate degeneration of the eyes? What do I do when I have a disease? What do I do when someone tells me that, and whatever it is? Well, I don't know about you, but I am not going to live around this world with two fish hooks on both sides of my mouth with anchor drawn, hooked drawn. I'm not going to live in this world without a smile on my face. I'm not going to live in a world that I'm always dejected and my life is degenerating in front of me. I want joy. Where do I get my joy? Number one, I understand that God makes no mistakes. And God is going to use me, and I'm willing to say, dear God, here I am, use me, so that I can give others joy. See, when you're looking for joy and you're trying to find it, you are not going to find it. But you try to give joy to somebody else, you laugh at yourself. I was reading this article the other day and he said, I've been looking around and I heard it's fall and the squirrels are gathering nuts. I just want to know if you're okay. Are you okay? Are you going to be okay? Not maybe right now, but you're going to be okay. I'm going to make it. You're going to look back a few years and laugh about this. Or you'll have joy about this. You'll say, you know, I'm kind of getting it. Remember I told you my first statement, 99.9% of the time, I do not know what's going on. Well, sometimes God gives us a little blip in it from the radar screen of heaven and says, oh, I think I get it now. Sometimes
or I may say almost all the times, Satan is throwing his fiery darts at us. Any darts flinging by your head lately? Sometimes, not only is Satan, but he also uses people to do it for him. And that's ironic that it's usually our best friends. It's usually the people that we've done the most for. How many of you ever thought, don't raise your hand. But one of the best ways to defeat these darts, these wrong kinds of thoughts, is to fill your hearts and your mind with the Word of God. Problem comes up, solve. All things work together for good to them, love God them according to His purpose. I don't understand it, but I know that all things work together for good. All of them a combination. I don't understand it. You say, oh, that's just a catchphrase. You can call it what you want, buddy, but I believe it, and I quote that 100 million times a day. Amen. What in the world was that all about? You know, I know some of you don't have days like that. Are you kidding me? I know, it doesn't happen to you, right? I mean, you guys are just... I mean, you're just flying by the instruments. Man, I fly by the seat of my pants, brother. I'm, whoa, man, they're coming at me. But, well, that happens to me. I know it doesn't happen to you. You guys are good. You're all happy. You're all joyful. You're just praising God. Hallelujah and amen. Or aren't you? Are you giving them? How many are having some battles? Would you raise your hands? Yeah. If I could, I'd raise both feet and both hands at the same time. Okay, I've given the preface. I have 4 minutes to explain it to you. We need to memorize Scripture. We need to memorize Scripture. We need to read our Scripture, find something, write it down, and then memorize it, read it every day. Get a 3x5 card, write it down, and read that. Put it in the back of a little book you got. Just read the Scripture. Put it in the back. The other day something happened, and just that morning, I had read some Scriptures in the Psalms. I read 5 Psalms a day. I try to read 1 proverb a day, which is today the 28th. I read Proverb 28. And then I read a chapter in Acts. That morning I read that scripture. It meant something to me that day. I don't know why. If you read the Bible long enough, you know, it kind of jumps out at you and says, oh, yeah, that's good. So I wrote it out. Wouldn't you know that afternoon it happened? And I went back to the Bible and said, amen. You know what I had? Joy. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Hallelujah, I needed that. As I read the Word of God and I read what the way Apostle Paul dealt with the issues of his life, he regarded the divine and the human, his own life actions, inseparable. He says, hey, God... in my life, my spiritual and my physical life, they're inseparable. The way I think of things should be how God may think of things or God has taught me. They're inseparable in my life. He believed the sovereignty of God, but he also understood that he had the freedom of choice and that he had the responsible as a man to his Savior. God's sovereignty. This is going to happen. You can't do nothing about it. It's just going to happen. But he also said, you know, I also know that I need to keep my body under subjection. Remember the scripture where he said? He said, I need to make careful that I walk close to God. You know, these free-willy, happy Christian people that call themselves grace people or whatever you want to call them. You know, they have the free will of everything.
If they want to drink, as long as it's in moderation, they'll drink. If they want to do this, they'll do that, as long as it's in moderation.
Where do you get that in the Bible?
God's Word said I am to be very careful how I act. For two reasons. One, for me. And secondly, for those that are watching me. I would not want to be a terrible testimony to my children, or to my children's children, or to my families in my church, or these little ones. I want to be very careful that I keep my body under subjection.
Look at the end of the letter to his friends he wrote at Philippi. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," Paul knew that the moral standard of Christianity depended upon the great realities of life. They were neither false nor unbelievable. He could trace them back to the very nature of God. He said, listen, this is the truth. So Paul says, first of all, he says that we are to think whatsoever things are true. If it's true, think on it. The story is told about a father who had a very beautiful, just planted a very beautiful cherry tree, and it was just growing. It was magnificent. He was so proud of it in his orchard. A couple years later, he was coming back from being in town, and he went to admire that beautiful cherry tree. But he was astonished when he saw it was all hacked down and ruined. He sternly cried to his son, George, "George, who did this?" He looked at his father with quivering lips and said, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I did it." And they say the father said this, "Alas," said the father, "my beautiful tree is ruined, but I'd rather lose all the trees in my orchard that I have than have a liar as my son." Whatsoever things are true, tell the truth. Tell the truth. The boy who feared to lie more and received due punishment became the hero of our country. General George Washington also became our president. And I don't care what the historians are telling you today that it didn't happen. You can say what you want. Whether it did or not, that's a pretty good reminder of how important telling the truth is. Amen. Paul says that we are to think on whatsoever things are honest. Honest. Is it honest? Think on it. The word here means more than just what we would take. It means things that are worthy of honor. The nature of God. That's worthy of honor. The immortality of the soul. Thank God for the immortality of the soul. It's the facts of death. We should think. Every once in a while, you ought to lay in bed and put your hands like this and think, what would people say about me if this was my funeral day today? What I think about the judgment seat is honest. We ought to think about the grand advance of science, to which brings glory to God. His hands are all over it. Amen. Like the accuracy of the scientists that can calculate the movement of the eclipse 100 years from now. Communication from one side of the world to another in split seconds. Medical skills, space technology and programs. You ought to think of those things. You ought to be amazed. You know, I'm amazed. If I can get it out of there, I'm amazed at what this little thing can do.
It tells me I got to be places. It bleeps and sirens and hollers at me. Gets me up in the morning.
Only thing I haven't found something to do is put me in bed at night. Amen.
Those are wonderful things we ought to think about. He said we ought to think about things that are just. If it's just, think of it. Paul said, to have real joy, we are to think on whatsoever is just. Things worthy of respect. Things that are right. We are not to think on dishonorable things. But justice. There are some people who only think of the opposite of justice. How to get away with cheating. How to get away with stealing. Boy, we as Christians ought to be thinking about just things. He said we all think about things that are pure. Paul again states, to have real joy, man always thinks on things that are pure. I'll tell you what, there are not too much pure things out there anymore. He was talking about here about moral purity. I'll close with this. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. In Paul's day, they had what they call one of the wonders of the world. The great temple of the worship of the goddess Diana. The temple was expressly set aside for her worship. At the temple, there are at least 2,000 female prostitutes which sacrificed their moral impurity for their goddess. Paul said, hey, think of those things that are pure. Don't think of that stuff. Think of the things that are pure. With all that said, Christians at Philippi were constantly bombarded by immorality. We have the same problem in today's society. Temptations are devastating the Christianity and sexual impurities and common practice. Oh, we are so sophisticated now. We can, at our own fingertips, we can go right into our living room and sit down at our PC or our Apple and get anything you want to look at. And nobody sees you. You don't have to suffer the same you used to be. Go down to the male bookstore. You can do it at home. May I suggest to you? Why don't you get a buddy and give him your password that knows about computer and say, anytime you want to look at my computer and what I'm looking at, you go right ahead. You have to be careful. There's stuff that comes up on my computer. I'm going like, what? Where in the world that thing came from? It'll get you. Oh, Satan provides so much to destroy our minds and destroy the joy that should be in there in our hearts. Impropriety, indiscretion, rudeness, bad taste, tactlessness, indecency. Let me remind you that there is hope. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 that it is capable to withstand these temptations if he keeps the hope of Christ in his heart. The Bible says every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. If he keeps the hope in Christ and in his heart, Paul the Apostle wrote, the hope of Christ in the heart was the desire. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, we're in a world of constant danger. And we run into pollution. And the pollution many times is selfishness. I deserve. I can do anything I want to do. David found after his great sin that he had to fight these onslaughts of the devil. Was keep close the Lord Jesus Christ to his heart. Allow him to be our guide every day. He wrote, search me, O God. And know my heart. and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any way, wicked way in me. Listen to his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on us. This is a crazy world. But I will tell you something. I need some joy. I need some peace. And the only way I can find it, right here. And I've got, how many have got a Bible? Would you raise your hand? So y'all got the answer, right? Everybody raised their hand. If you don't have one, there's a Bible sitting next to you. Take it home with you, amen. Make sure it's not Tanya First, because she's lost hers, amen. If you have Tanya First Bible, bring it back. I feel sorry for her. She had not read her Bible for how long have you lost it? You need to cheer her up a little, brother. She needs some joy, amen. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Lord God, you know our needs, and they are great. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would find true joy in your word. Lord, first of all, if there's people here today who do not know you as their Savior, they're not going to have joy at all because they do not have the Savior in their heart. Dear God, I pray today that they would accept you as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go there. That worries me. That bothers me. Right there, why don't you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins? Ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul. He promises He will. The Bible said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. Wouldn't you do that today? Why don't you just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now. And God said he will. Father, speak to our hearts as we have this invitation in Jesus' name. I'm going to have everyone standing here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that today. I'd sure like to do that today. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, take him by the hand and say, Preacher, today I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe you're here today and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why don't you come? Why don't you take care of that today? You're today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God has led us. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time? Let us be a help to you. Let us be encouragement to you. Again, you're here today and you're sure you're not saved. Why don't you let me show you from the Word of God? You're here today and need to follow Lord and believe in baptism. Why don't you come? You're today and say, Preacher, we want to become members. I want you to step out and come. We'd sure love to have you. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Oh God, we look for joy every place. We're looking for it in the wrong place. It's in your book. It's what you do to our minds when we read the Word of God. And we're changed. Lord, we allow you to become the judge. And we step away from being the judge. We allow you to take care of things and decisions in our lives. And Lord God, we just walk appropriate to what you'd have us to do. Lord God, go help us as we go to our separate homes today. To eat our meal. And then come back tonight at 6. Lord, please God. Do your work in our hearts, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.